Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, we're asking on the programme, should this be shown in Irish schools?
Jamie, this is our last session.
What?
But what I would encourage you to do, whatever happens next, is take advantage of any mental health services that are offered to you.
Why?
I think you'll benefit from
I won't.
Well, that's just what I think.
And then you come back. You see me?
Unfortunately, I'm needed elsewhere. Thanks for your time. I'll ask Frank to come back.
Frank's my time!
Frank, and honesty, I'm grateful that
you've been being honest. Are you going to tell the judge all that?
I think you've spoken to me with honesty, yes, but all I'm advising the judge on is your understanding.
My understanding, yes. It doesn't seem like a proper goodbye.
That's the hit Netflix drama, Adolescence. It sparked conversation around toxic online content, youth violence. It's now going to be screened, though, in every secondary school in the UK. So all of the 11 to 18 year olds are going to be able to watch this during school time. And the UK Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, said that he wanted to talk about what we can do as a society to stop and prevent young boys being dragged into this whirlpool of hatred and misogyny. And I'm wondering, do you think, is this a good idea? And is it something that we should show in Irish schools as well? 1800 453 106, that's the number. Deirdre's on the line in Wicklow. Deirdre, I believe you're a parent of teenagers. Should this be shown in Irish schools? How are you?
I'm grand, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Yes, I am a parent of three teenagers, one who's actually just turned 14. So he's right in that demographic.
That's big age.
Should it be shown in Irish schools? I think yes, why not? But I also think it needs to be part of a much wider conversation. I think parents should watch it as well, because it's all very fine, the kids already know some of the stuff that's going on, but we as parents are kind of left in the wilderness, not knowing what way to go with all this technology. Like I said to my son, because he watched it, and I asked him about the emojis, because I was like, what is the story with the emojis?
Mm.
And he was very reluctant to explain. I said, had you ever heard of that? And he's like, no. And then I went after the second time, and eventually he kind of said, yeah, well, the blue heart means this. And I was like, okay, I knew any of that.
Yeah. So it was more It was more learning for you, Deirdre, was it?
It was learning for me. But I think going in and showing it in the schools as a one-off thing, I don't think is enough. I think it has to be part of a much wider discussion. And what happens then? You show it in the schools, and then what? I think parents need to be educated. I feel like we're floundering in this sea of like technology. We don't know which way is up, and new things are coming out all the time. And our kids are being affected by them. And we can see all the time how badly this is affecting their mental health. But I kind of feel at sea. I'm like, what can we do? We need education. The parents need education.
So you think there's no harm, but this needs to be no harm showing it in school. But there needs to be some kind of discourse or conversation with students as well.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And parents. And it needs to be part of a much, much wider discussion. Because I think it's a big problem.
Tara Duggan from the News Talk newsroom is with us here too, Deirdre. Do you think this should be shown in school, Tara? I do think it should be shown in schools, Andrea, but I think actually echoing Deirdre's point, it's probably more important that parents see it than the teenagers do. They're way ahead of us on this game. I'm kind of shocked by why everyone is so shocked about adolescence.
Well,
if
everyone's
I'm honest.
Saying it's such an eye opener. This has been a real moment now, you know.
And that shocks me because
parents shouldn't be shocked by this.
I mean, everything always gets put onto teachers or parents, you know what I mean? And we have roles and we have to work hand in glove with one another on this. But, you know, we hear warnings consistently and constantly about the damages that social media can do and too much screen time and what's available for young men and young women to see online. We really shouldn't be only learning about it now through a very well put together drama. But I completely agree with Deirdre. I think, you know, the teenagers get this better than us. I wonder if you put 13 and 14 year, 15 year old boys and girls and watch, show this to them in school, would they be as shocked as everyone else appears to be? Because they inhabit this world.
Yeah.
And in the subject matter, obviously, it's very dark and it's very disturbing. But we've seen incidents like this happen in real life.
Yeah, we have here and in
the UK.
Yeah.
So it's the level of other people's shock that shocks me.
That shocks you. You've three kids.
I do. Yeah. Two grown up now, really. Yeah, but a teenager, 16-year-old would be my youngest.
Your young
now.
Lad, yeah. He's probably well aware then of, you know, the kind of the online text use in this and the blue heart, as Deirdre mentioned, and the emojis and all.
I would imagine so. And Deirdre, I haven't had the conversation with my son that you had, because to be fair, I just haven't felt comfortable really to have that. And that's a failing I need to. My daughter has watched Adolescence. She didn't seem remotely shocked by it
really,
at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all. But I also wonder, in showing it, again, I agree with Deirdre that it's one element of the conversation. Because while, to be honest, I thought Adolescence left me nearly with more questions than it answered in the four parts. And Jack Thorne, the creator, has said that Jamie's story has now been told. It's not like there's going to be a revisiting of this anywhere. But there were so many things in it. There was the story of the parents, for starters, and, you know, the situation that the parents are left in, and all parents whose children maybe commit a crime would really identify with that.
Yeah.
And that's a learning for all of us parents as well. But we hear a lot about toxic masculinity. And, you know, we heard about it from Katie's point of view. She's the victim in this. But Jamie, at one point in time, we're starting to learn that there was an element of, I'm not saying provocation, but maybe mitigation, that he seems to have been on the hard end of bullying, that his, you know, his physical appearance was being picked at, his lack of experience was being picked on, and that was almost like what provoked him into action. And we hear a lot about toxic masculinity, but we don't hear an awful lot about empathy for our boys.
I did think, actually, in the series that I thought it was only the first four parts were being released and there would be more to come. You know, I would have liked to have seen the court case play out, and I would have liked to have heard from the victim's family in it as well. You know, James is on the line in Donegal. Do you think we should show Adolescence to teenagers in schools here, James?
I'm conflicted about that, because I think the concept of what it is trying to address, which is the problem with, you know, young men now. I'm 23, turned 24, so where the young man is younger, you know, 13 or up to me.
Well, you're not that long out of school.
I know, as I said, I'm not hitting my pension soon anyway, that's for sure. But the concept of it trying to address, which is the behavioural issues of men, is good, because there obviously is a problem. You see the increase in behavioural issues, suicides, mental health issues, whatever, drug addictions. But I think the way it goes about it isn't correct. I don't think browbeating young men into sort of being shamed by what they are as masculinity isn't correct, because what you do by that is you take away sort of any good role models. And if you know anything about power, taking away a role model, leaving a gap is filled, there's a vacuum, and that is filled by the likes of an Andrew Tate, who is, in my opinion, he's a caricature of masculinity, where the peak definition of masculinity is having, you know, intercourse with tons of different women and having a nice car and a watch. And to me, that's not what masculinity is. But for a lot of young men, they didn't or do not have role models. They don't have a good, healthy example of what it is to be a man. For me, I had my father and my mother, my parents. When I saw how my father treated my mother and then my mother treated my father, it was a healthy, proper relationship built off respect and decency, and any problem that could be solved was done properly. But not all young lads have that. And if there's no role models outside of that in popular culture, you know, whether you think of a positive role model or you look at the men who are promoted, it's gangsters, it's rappers, it's completely effeminate men. And you look at those concepts and it's like, of course, young lads who are just hitting puberty, 12, 13, 14, they have a rush of hormones and they have no idea what they're doing when it comes to being a man, what the concept of being a man is. Of course, they're going to be drawn to this Frankenstein version of masculinity, which is Andrew Tate. So, and I don't think adolescence would solve that.
No. So, but I wonder, is it a starting point maybe for you know, because look, I've no doubt that there's parents listening to us today who'll say, you know, we either watched the Netflix show with our teenager and then had a chat about it, or we allowed him to watch it maybe with brothers or sisters and then there was a discussion. But there will be some kids in households, you know, who won't see it, or their parents won't for whatever reason watch it. Because I've heard some of my own friends actually with kids around this age say they just think it's too hard of a watch. And I wonder, is that kind of burying your head in the sand a little bit?
I think you need to sort of slowly integrate kids into the horrors of the world, which is within every man and woman, there's the possibility of being terrible and not doing the right thing. And if you want to keep on the topic of this conversation with men, you know, you got to have a role model, because if you just go out there as a man without any idea of how to treat a woman or how to be decent, you can go down the wrong path very easily and you can make mistakes. God knows I've made plenty and I will continue to make plenty in my life. But the foundations of my beliefs, which is respecting people, keeping your word, be honest, use violence as a last resort, all these things that are crucial to me come from the male role models in my life. And not just, you know, my father and my parents' relationship. I've had my parents' friend who was a guard who passed away recently. He was the peak example of a good man who did the right thing for the right thing. Okay. He helped out his family and did right by his community. And you need to promote those role models and highlight them rather than just browbeating men.
They're talking about showing the Netflix series Adolescents, Tara, to minors aged 11 to 18 in schools in the UK. Like, it's a big age gap from 11 to 18.
Well, it is. And I suppose it's a bit of a catch-all, because anyone, as I said, who's maybe over 13, 14, they're familiar with these emojis. Yeah. They know what's going on and they're having first-hand experience of it. So I suppose you need to be there at 11. It's the same conversation we've had, Andrea, about at what point and at what level do we teach our children about sexual education in schools? You know, that's now moved more conclusively to primary school. The earlier you get in from any of these topics, the more of an impact you're going to have, because the learning is innate at that point. But just to pick up on some of Graham's points there, you know, we're trying to protect our boys from early exposure to porn. We're trying to drum into them the importance of consent, how important it is to treat women and not to mistreat women and girls. But in doing so, I wonder sometimes, have we kind of made them the bad guy in a bit? So in the absence of positive male role models, like Graham says, which are hugely important, we spent years trying to boost our girls in self-esteem. Don't be comparing yourself to this image of perfect that you see online, the whole body positivity movement. But I don't think we have enough awareness of the impact those very same things are having on boys.
Young lads.
The issue of body dysmorphia, muscle dysmorphia is a huge thing. And that's a theme that's kind of pointed at and suggested as part
is,
of
Jamie. There's a text from Martha. She says, I think it's super important that parents watch this programme. The kids are already there. We need to provide ways for young men to feel good about themselves. You know, they don't go down the bullying road, the incel road. There's too much talk about the emojis, not enough talk about the underlying problems like self-esteem. We're missing the point completely. And the current need for the perfect Insta lives, we need to stop talking about toxic masculinity and emphasise positive masculinity as well, says Martha. Alex Cooney is on the line. Alex is the CEO of Cyber Safe Kids. Do you think the Irish educators should show adolescents in schools here, Alex?
I mean, yes, because it's an interesting talking point for young people. But I would agree that this is more about the sort of societal implications. So absolutely parents, but also policymakers, because, you know, why are children and young people being served up these sorts of messages online? Because the algorithm, so, you know, is behind it. And there was a study, a very good study by DCU, the Anti-Bullying Centre at DCU, led by Professor Debbie Ging, that told us all this 2 or 3 years ago. She looked at TikTok and YouTube in particular, and the sort of content it was serving up to boys and young men. And she found that it was, in some cases, overwhelmingly around these narratives of the manosphere, anti-feminist, misogynistic type content. So can you imagine, in the case of YouTube, I think it was two-thirds of their feed was being dominated by these sorts of messages. So I think we need to be looking also at regulation and the tech companies and seriously questioning why we're allowing these companies, who at the end of the day are making so much money on the back of their users, to influence and have such an impact on the minds of our children and young people.
The other interesting point, Alex, for you, and quite a few messages today from parents about this, you know, like it's one thing to maybe take your 10 or your 11-year-old and sit down tonight and start watching the Netflix series over the next four evenings. The discussion that you then, the subsequent discussion that happens afterwards, how do you make that age appropriate? Like what language do you use for a 9-year-old or a 13-year-old?
Yeah, and I think it's really challenging. And also we recognizing that children may not understand it. A lot of this is very subliminal. You know, they may not actually see it in this very overt way that we think that they do. So they may not even think they're being influenced. I've had these conversations with my 12-year-old son, you know, who loves YouTube. And I'm saying to him, you know, you have no idea how that's influencing your mind or how it's, you know, it's holding your attention. And, you know, so I'm trying to get him to be really questioning the content that he's encountering. And obviously, at the end of the day, we're also trying to say, look, if anything that comes across your feed or you see online makes you feel uncomfortable, then you need to tell a trusted adult. It's really important that we can talk about it. So that's a very important message. But I mean, it's very challenging for parents, which is why I also put the responsibility back on tech companies and policy makers to hold them to account over this.
Interesting text here from a listener who says, I spoke to five different female friends who'd all watched Adolescence. The interesting thing was that none of their husbands would watch it. They each thought it was going to be too upsetting, so they wouldn't actually watch the programme. Graham is on the line in Cork. Graham, you're a secondary school teacher. Do you think we should show this here?
It depends on what context. Like I said, do I think some politician should be determining it? No, I don't. They don't have the expertise and knowledge to do so. If people within the department wanted to show it, then yeah. But I mean, again, in what context? Like, are you? I'm assuming they're not using it as part of an English lesson. You'd be using probably part of SPHE. But do you want to sit down and show the whole thing? That's hours and hours and hours. At what ages? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and then at what ages? Because is there material in there? Will be, you know, I can see some parents having, and maybe more than some, taking issue with being shown to firsters. So, I mean, it's not something that there's not a blanket yes or no answer. It depends on what context. It depends to how much of it. It depends what parts of it. It depends to what age group. It depends to what purpose. Like broadly speaking, to be clear, my wife watched it, so did I. And broadly speaking, and are passive upsetting? Absolutely, of course they are. But is it a good show? Yeah, artistically, yes. Can I see it be as part of an English class? I mean, I don't think that's really the context they're talking about it here. But are there messages in it that I think would be important for people to experience? Yes, but again, how much of it, what context, what supporting materials are coming with it from the department? Because if you're leaving it down to individual teachers to just kind of make stuff up in relation to it, I'm not saying they couldn't, but if you've then got hundreds of different teachers all over the country, someone going to, not through intent or anything, probably get something wrong or make a mistake in that regard.
Yeah, too much variety.
You need to be careful about.
So is it enough then to just maybe, would you recommend, Graham, you know, I wonder, is it worth asking parents of sort of whatever they think is the appropriate age, or should they know where their child is at, to sit down with their kids, maybe boys and girls, and watch it?
Should they be part of the consultation process? Absolutely. Should they have the final say? Not in my opinion, no. But would they have the final say that if it was being covered and they were very much against it, that they could opt out? Then that would be fair. Like, they wouldn't have the final say over whether it was shown at school at all. But they should have final say over whether their child is going to be the person sitting in class. Kids opt out of religion classes, kids opt out of different topics, that kind of thing. So, I mean, that is a system that is there. So they could be able to come out. And should they be consulted about the thing more broadly? Sure. But they shouldn't have the final determining say on whether a whole school or a whole education system is going to be showing this or not. But again, there's too many variables to give like a straight yes, no answer.
Yes, no. Okay. What about you, Tracy? Do you think it's that simple? Should it be shown in schools?
I think we need a broader conversation. I don't think one programme is going to actually tackle the real issue. I have a child who's 10, and since the age of 9, the name Andrew Tate has been brought home. Who's Andrew Tate? They're talking about it in school at that age. Like, Noah doesn't have a phone, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have access to this information. And we have a society now that us as parents seem to be kind of oblivious to what's really going on. Like, kids have access to everything, and how they talk and the language they use. And at that age, from the age of 8 and 9, like, they're in their formative years before their teens, and this is where their mindset is starting to develop and change. And I think we need to be looking at it there instead of focusing on teenagers. You need to catch them early. And these conversations are happening in primary school yards. These words, you know, different language that we wouldn't have used. Mm. And it's coming from somewhere, and they all have access to this. So it's a broader picture rather than looking at the end result. We need to tackle it from now and guide our kids through it as they're maturing.
You said your wee lad Tracy's 10, is he?
10. He'll be 11 next week. But I mean, last year...
And he knows about Andrew Tate.
He asked me who Andrew Tate was, and we're very black and white. We talk everything out. There was neurodivergent, so he, you know, would always kind of, you'd be conscious of that risky behaviour, you know, the dopamine hit and stuff. And, you know, I'd be probably more conscious than most parents. But these are conversations that are happening in the yard with all the boys. And the language they're using, like some of the crazy words, like a gyos, which is a bum. You know, these words coming home, I'm like, what the hell does that mean? But this is how they're speaking. And I've the app on his PS as well when he's chatting online to his friends. And I've blocked kids off it for the language they're using. And, it, you know, there's a lot of sexuality in their words as well. And the degrading way of speaking about women. And I'm constantly reminding them, you know, I'm a woman too. You need to be respectful. And we have that open conversation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he's not hearing this language and he's not using it. He is using it as well, because this is what the kids think is typical in the playground.
Just finally on that, Tara, that was the point you'd made, I suppose, at the outset as well. The kids and the teenagers, they're way ahead.
Way ahead of us. Way ahead of us. I mean, we're asking the question, should it be shown in secondary schools to, you know, 12-year-olds? Mm. What those 12-year-olds are seeing in the privacy of their own bedroom, sitting room, on the device that they have in their hand, or as Tracy says, on the PlayStation or other devices like that, like, that would shock us more, I think, than adolescence. Anything in that programme would.
A lot of people getting in touch about this today. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's our own Tara Duggan from the newsroom, Graham, Tracy, Alex Cooney, Deirdre James. Thanks a million for joining us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.